Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and holy shit, they're making Metroid Prime 4! Oh my god! And with me, I have...
I'm Mark, and I'm making sure to be there for February 2018.
Wait, what's February 2018?
Come on. Motherfucking Black Panther.
Yeah. Right.
Have you seen that fucking trailer, man?
Dude, man. And the crowd goes,
RTJ! RTJ!
Oh, dude, that movie's gonna be so fucking good.
Hell yeah, it's gonna be good. Okay, it's gonna be good.
Man,
all my money.
Episode 38.
We're getting close to 40.
In case you haven't figured it out by now, this is another episode where Alex isn't here.
Yeah, work got them again.
Don't worry, he'll be with us in spirit. And the usual recordings, we're going to try jamming in here somewhere. So, how have things been going on your end, Mark?
Let's see. The past week, I saw Wonder Woman like a week ago. And it's true. The movie is actually damn good. It's actually the first... The first DCEU movie that I turned to be actually good and watchable, and the hero actually, you know, acts heroic.
Oh my god, they managed not to fuck it up this time.
Also, there's colors, as in not just bleak. Also, yeah, it's very bright and shit. It's not always very dark or bleak and all that shit. And also, I like to form this down where, like, all right, like, Gal Gadot, she did a thing as Wonder Woman, like Chris Pine as Steve Trevor, which they keep naming his name Steve. Steve is really a popular name.
I suppose so. Yeah, I still haven't gotten a chance to watch Wonder Woman yet. Maybe I will this weekend. This is the last week of my course, got final on Friday, and then all that shit will be, you know, done and over with for that, you know, shit.
Right.
And then I'll be able to get out and watch Wonder Woman and whatever the hell else is coming out this weekend. I gotta check. I don't remember off the top of my head. Anyway, as for me, apart from that, I've mostly been busy with helping the guys over on the gaming part of the site with some E3 shit. You know, watching... Ooh. I've been, you know, watching the conferences, and I even helped them with the post-show commentary from the Sony conference, which... It was a little bit underwhelming compared to past years, I will admit.
Yeah, to be.
It's kind of a shame.
Yeah, that's
kind of
true.
Really?
I did see it. I was like, yeah, I mean, I know. Last year you did well. The last few years, it was like, well, they saw all the guns last year, so they thought they scrapped what little they got. And this year, it's like, well, I mean, at least not EA.
Yeah, EA's got... You say what you will about Sony's presentation. At least there's a few things I could get hyped for. You know, the Spider-Man game, Shadow of the Colossus remake. God, what else? What else? Whatever the other things were. Oh, God of War. That looks pretty fun. But yeah, EA's just got nothing. I mean, shit. Like they got outclassed by Ubisoft, and that's just kind of sad. Although, to be fair, at least Ubisoft did have a few interesting things going... Seriously, that fucking Mario Rabbids game has no business looking as fun as it does. It's a fucking little amateur minion piece of shit.
A lot of people are surprised about that shit.
Yeah. And, of course, I think the Nintendo conference was earlier today. I could only watch bits of it because it was going on while I was at work. But, yeah, obviously the hype of, like, Super Mario Odyssey and Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and holy shit, we're getting two Metroid games! After everyone thought that Nintendo thought Metroid was dead. Although I'm trying to figure out how the hell a Metroid Prime 4 is supposed to work, because the Prime is supposed to reference the main villain of those games, which got completely annihilated at the end of Prime 3, along with the presence of the toxic element Phazon throughout the galaxy in which Metroid exists. So how exactly do you follow up on that? Unless they're using Prime to refer to, oh hey, it's a first-person Metroid game. In which case, I guess the title just becomes symbolic at that point, but I'm overthinking this. Bleh. And speaking of hype shit, how about that upcoming Dragon Ball Z fighting game, huh?
This, oh yeah, I mean, yeah, man, this should look good.
Yeah, that's like, that's the Dragon Ball Z game I always wanted as a kid but never got. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I only ever thought like the Budokai games on like the PS2 were okay. They just felt kind of slow and sluggish compared to, like, you know. Well, okay, the TV show can be slow and sluggish, so I see the point there. But I want my Dragon Ball Z fighting games to actually have speed and, you know, fast, furious chaos. So this looks like it's going to be that. But, yeah, there was that. Nothing else really going on my end. I mean, I'm in a little bit of a funk because last week was my best friend's birthday. Although it's the first time I haven't gotten to see her because she moved to L.A. a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah, you did tell us that. Yeah.
That makes me sad. I always bake her cookies and stuff. Because she likes those.
Okay.
What?
Y'all keep in touch or something? Like, I don't know.
Obviously.
Like, okay. All right, well, at least there's that.
Yes, there is. So... yeah, that's basically everything. If you want to check out any of the archives of our, you know, commentaries on the conferences and whatnot, you can just go check out Surreal Resolution on Twitch. And by the way, just as an aside, for anyone who has not seen the Devolver Digital Conference, just watch it. Just go see it. It is something else. It's literally like a video game themed episode of the Eric Andre Show.
Okay, now I have to check that out, because that's the one conference that I'm that for. Shit, I should have stayed up for that shit, because I was like, when I was watching the conferences, like after Bethesda, I thought, shit, I'm getting tired. And then I thought, and then after her all about Devolver, like, I should have stayed awake.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, blame my sleeping problem. Blame my sleeping problem, or...
Nah, yeah, I feel ya.
Yeah.
But that basically takes care of all the shenanigans, so now let's move on to the usual business, starting off with the new songs from the past week or so. Remember, if you're listening, we'll have a link to a playlist down in the description, so you can, you know, check out what we've been discussing, follow along with us, yada yada yada, all that good shit. So, to kick off this discussion, let's once again talk about our friend Shabazz Palaces.
Uh-huh.
Releasing the... this is the fourth song, right?
I believe. Yeah, the fourth song, but the second one of their other album, Quasars versus the Jealous Machines, due July 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And this one's called Julian's Dream, Ode to a Bad, which, I mean, which I look into the lyrics, which are like, okay, I can't understand what they're talking about. They're talking, is it ode to this... oh, this girl they found to be like a, like, ooh, she's bad, she's so fucking fine, like all that shit, but they do discover in their own Shabazz Palaces way, which, alright, this is a bit mind-boggling at first, but it's like, alright, I gotta get with this. There's one part where they describe, where they just talk about fruit
for some reason. It's like, that's a weird tangent, ain't it?
Pretty much. Pretty much, like, okay, alright, they talk about some, like, I can't name the fruit. I mean, there's a lot of them, but fuck it. There's also a verse, called The Shogun Shot. Like, which,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the third verse guy, which, although I can barely hear him in this part, at least to me, the song is so bizarre. All right, man, I do dig the whole, like weird spacey beat of it. It is smooth song to get into. Like, I'm definitely good with this.
Yeah, I'll admit, of the four singles released so far, this one's kind of my least favorite. I mean, like, the beat is okay. It's this kind of, like, spacey, almost kind of tropical thing. But the lyrics, like, except for that tangent about fruit, aren't as interesting, I guess you could say. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, one okay track out of, like, four, where the rest were pretty good, I'd say this is still on track to be, it's, you know, some good shit.
That's a good percentage of being good. It's still, like, a good percentage of, you know, being good tracks. That's not a bad ratio. That's not a bad ratio. That's all right.
Yep, indeed. We got about another, month or so until that comes out.
Oh shit, that's right. It is a month.
But now let's move on to our next song. Living Color, probably one of the few all black like rock bands that I could think of. And I mean, when I say rock, I mean like the 80s and 90s, like alternative metal and whatnot. They got a new album. They've been, you know, teasing for a while, but it's finally now like dated and named. It's called Shade. It's coming out September 8th. And we got the first single, Come On. The way the track opens, it's got this very like cold echoing kind of synth thing, and then veers into a kind of like funky, you know, guitar thing accentuated with like, you know, heavy power chords and shit. It almost kind of sounds like the weird like flanger thing, like kind of funk that you'd expect, almost kind of like in a spy thriller theme sort of. And then like interspersed throughout the song, there's these little like electronic like kind of dubstepish breaks that actually work surprisingly well. Like they sort of help lift certain parts of the song instead of just like clashing with it. And of course, you know, there's some excellent shredding from, you know, good old Vernon Reid, forever one of the best guitarists in the game. Oh man, I've always had a soft spot for Living Color ever since I first heard one of their songs in the soundtrack of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, like back when I was in middle school. So I've always, you know, had a soft spot for their stuff. And this song, it's not as heavy as, you know, older material of theirs has been, but you know, it's still got enough of like that, you know, just hard hitting and just enough of the funk to actually, you know, be cool as hell. So I gotta admit, I'm looking forward to this when it drops. And now moving on, Mirrorcore, the one woman black metal extraordinaire who's been, you know, an up and coming figure in the scene. She's been doing pretty good for herself, especially, you know, in the past couple of years. I mean, she had her first EP out, like, in 2014, her debut studio album, 2015, and she got another boost of popularity that year from a choice feature on the Adult Swim Singles program. And she's got her sophomore effort. I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce the name because it's some weird shit, but it's not dated yet. However, we do have the first single from the album, which... Again, I'm not going to try to pronounce this title because I don't even know what nationality she is. Swedish? Is that? I don't fucking know. I don't speak foreign, weird European language things. But I will say though, I actually really like this song. Now I've made it clear I don't care much for black metal as a style, but generally Mirrorcore's style tends to feature a mix of black metal and some folkish folk rock elements. This one goes more just full folk. Like, the predominant backing track is just this very folky violin string section, and it sounds fantastic. It sounds like some Lord of the Rings type shit. And of course, Mirrorcore, this is, her vocal performance here is more clean instead of having any of the gruffer, you know, just typical black metal digressions, but it sounds great. I always do think that, like, when she sings, her voice is absolutely gorgeous, and this is, if this is the direction she's going to, from, you know, black metal to folk, I'm actually really looking forward to this. I could actually, you know, see myself getting into this for once. Anyway, now, moving on. We mentioned a couple episodes ago that 106.Never is scoring an upcoming film called Good Times.
Good Time.
And we, you know, talked about the trailer, bit of the music from there. And he's actually released a track from his soundtrack to that album. The collaboration with punk rock icon Iggy Pop titled The Pure and the Damned. You want to start on this one, man?
Why, yes, I would. I gotta say, I really do dig this song, because, like, the first half, the first part, you do get this very summer piano, which you think, you would think less of 106.Never style, at least from we were here before him. And I gotta say, I really do dig the, I was like, the whole, the pure always act from love, the damn always act from love, which is like, well, you know, the whole thing about how, well, you know, both act from a place of love, and then can become pure once they, you know, they realize the love they got, which might have something to do with the movie. I think it does have something to do with the movie. But then when I noticed that production, like, during the latter half, when Essential Style kicks in, it's like, oh, yeah, yep, that's definitely 106.Never. That's definitely his style. I do love the old Mickey Pop. But Dustin is very low key and somber. I really do dig this, and this is a very solid track.
Yeah, I'll admit it took me a couple listens to actually get into it because, like, as you said, it starts off with that like stereotypically cinematic, just somber minimal piano keys, you know, accentuating Iggy Pop's vocal performance, which his singing here is great, and the piano beat like does great to, you know, sell you on the somberness of what he's actually singing about. But you kind of start to think, like, wait, this is 10 Tricks Play Never? Like, it sounds like, you know, standard enough that anyone but does it. But then the back half, it's like, oh, yeah, there's those, like, weird synth things that you expect from him.
It's like, I ain't feel yet. Oh, there it is. Now I'm high. Like that.
Remember, kids, don't have too many edibles. Drug jokes. Anyway, speaking of drugs, moving on to the next song on the list. Shock rock icon Alice Cooper is dropping his 27th album on July 28th called Paranormal. Which, damn, I always knew it was old, but like 27 albums, holy shit, he's been at this for a while, damn.
That's a very impressive feat.
I didn't even know he was still recording. I thought he was just, like, living off royalties and whatnot, occasionally touring. But I guess he still is. And so, we have the first single from the album, Paranoiac Personality. And it's Alice Cooper. It's very old school, you know, hard rock with, like, the bass and guitar that have this just massive grooving swagger to them. And, you know, his vocals just, you know, gruff as hell, telling you about how, like, paranoid and his personality is, and like just how, you know, on edge and crazy he is, man. Gazelle's Cooper, don't look out behind you.
Where you went?
Yeah, yeah. So it's Alice Cooper. You've heard one Alice Cooper song, you've heard them all, but you know, it's a fun listen. So I'm sure the album itself will probably be like a pretty fun listen in and of its own right. And now for our next song, one that I really wish Alex could have been here to discuss with us, because it's his boy, man. His boy, Steven Wilson of Porcupine Tree. He's got another album coming out this year, following up on his little mini album thing from last year. His fifth proper solo record, To the Bone, due out August 18th. And so we have a song from that. I forget if this is the first or second song released from it. It's called Song of I. And first off, this video is fucking weird. Like, it's... okay, the visuals of the video, and when you listen to the song, because the song itself, it has like this sort of clattering, tinkerbox percussion to it, with some like drums and these string compositions that kind of like, you know, swell as time goes on, and these kind of industrialized synths. And when you're listening to that and you're looking at the video, the very first thing that came to my mind is, this sounds like Bjork.
Wow.
Like, it sounds like mid 90s post era Bjork, which is not a bad thing. I mean, that's one of my favorite Bjork albums, but it does kind of like take a little bit of getting used to, just to think like, okay, I know, like, Steven Wilson's all prog and shit, but he's going for, like, you know, that older, like, sort of 90s experimental pop style. It, like I said, it takes some getting used to, but it's an interesting listen overall. I attempted to check out the album. And now, let's quickly intervene with Alex's thoughts on the matter.
Well, Steven's deep into the Europop and trance scene with this one. The start of the song immediately reminded me of his cover of Prince's Sign of the Times, you know, with all the reverb and the vocals and the synth beats. Midway, though, the strings come in and make the song sound way more menacing and spooky. It's more reminiscent of Sleep Together from Porcupine Tree than anything else. Of course, that video is trippy and weird as all hell, courtesy of his longtime video and photo collaborator, Lasse Hoyle. They are great together, aren't they?
Thank you, Alex. Now, moving on. There's this band called Comeback Kid, which I'm told is a big deal. I've never actually gotten around to listening to their stuff, but I kind of have to at some point. Because, you know, judging from this song they released, which, for the record, they've been working on a new album. They got signed to the label Nuclear Blast. And they released a new single called Absolutes, which features guest vocals from Devin Townsend. Wait, what? The Devin Townsend is on this. The very band that I worship in the same manner that Alex worships Steven Wilson. That, okay, that I had to listen to as soon as it came across my view. So, listening to the song, the opening riffs and the choruses are, you know, very, it has a very crossover thrash mixed with, like, more modernized hardcore, you know, stuff like Stick to Your Guns or Straight from the Path. And, yeah, the opening riff, also kind of like Municipal Waste, just with, like, a better production style. It hits hard. There's the, you know, gruff, tough guy vocals, the gang shouts. And then once it gets halfway through into the back half of the song, where Devin actually contributes his vocals, which are just, as always, just, when he goes heavy. It's just monstrous. It's swelling. It's cool. It hits, you know, just really hard. And it just makes you want to, you know, fucking get in the pit, man. Fucking fuck so much shit up, man. Urgh! You'll feel hair growing on your chest. And now, let's see what Alex has to say about this song as well.
Come back, kid, huh? We're certainly aggressive as all hell, and our friend Devi is always welcomed in any heavy setting. Get it? Heavy? Devi? Yeah. Well, these guys are now another band I have to add to my backlog, run through their catalog, because I was kind of impressed. Well done. And man, Devin Townsend on that breakdown is fucking awesome too. But then again, Devin is always awesome at everything, that beautiful bald bastard.
Thank you for your thoughts. Now, moving on to the next song. So, something that I don't know if it got lost in the lurch from this past weekend, you know, because EA and everything. I mean, E3 rather, sorry. There was the inaugural edition of the Gorillaz Demon Days Festival over in the UK, in which the entirety of Humans was performed with all collaborators in tow, which, of course, includes one Popcan. Or is it Popcan? I'm not good with double letter names.
I don't know, either way, it sounds the same. Popcan, whatever.
Yeah, and he actually released a new single during this past week. I don't know if it's part of an album or anything, although from what I've heard, we probably shouldn't hold a breath, called Up Forever. And all I have to say, it, you know, sounds like Popcan. Sounds like, you know, dance hall, you know, club shit with, like, the weird Jamaican voice. It's all right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does sound like, you know, that dance hall. You hear the club, that me want to dance, that me want to dance. Because the beat actually is, you know, it has a lot of swell, a lot of color. Basically, it's what everybody else tries to copy, except this is better.
That's true.
Yeah, because you know how people have been trying to do that tropical house dance hall shit on, you know, in pop as of recent.
We're looking at you, Drake, and your playlist. Air quotes. I still haven't heard More Life, and you can't make me.
You know, only two good tracks are the ones that aren't something that he didn't contribute to.
That basically says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, Popcan, Up Forever, go right. But, you know, speaking of Gorillaz, let's get into some actual Gorillaz.
All right. Here we go.
So, it's been about 2 years since... Wait, why did I say 2 years? Fuck, I'm getting tongue-tied here, damn it.
2 months.
Yeah, I'm so tired. It's been about a month and a half, almost 2 months since the Humans dropped. And, you know, things have been progressing pretty steadily. You know, festival and tour announcements and stuff. The Gorillaz TV show that's, you know, in development. And... Even, of course, there was some interview quotes floating around that Damon Albarn had, like, 40, 45 songs that had to get cut from the original release and deluxe version, which is probably going to end up on, like, I guess some future ultra mega deluxe vinyl issue thing or something.
How much that cost?
I don't fucking know, but it's probably going to cost an arm and a leg.
So basically so, you.
Yes, because that's how much I'm worth. Which, Mark, I'm flattered. I always thought I was just worth like $2 and a ham and cheese sandwich.
Damn.
But yeah, it appears we have a new Gorilla song in our hands. Possibly one of those 45 that got left on the cutting room floor. It's a track called Sleeping Powder. And interestingly, no contributors to it. It's just it's according to the video, which is weird. It's a trippy hallucination with a 3D incarnation of 2D. You see what you did there? It starts off with like this kind of classical operatic, like string piano thing. Like you can just picture in your head all the stiff upper class white people with fancy powdered wigs. And then it gets into, you know, like a pretty steady, upbeat version of, you know, as we've heard it called before, the boots and pants beat.
Boots and pants, boots and pants, boots and pants.
And, you know, it's got kind of a decent groove to it. I almost want to say it kind of sounds like something that was left over from, like, Plastic Beach. Mm. But, and I can kind of see, like, why it got left out of, like, the Humans album as a whole, because it's got more... I'm kind of struggling to see where it fits in with, like, what that album was trying to go for, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. I think the check is alright. Maybe not as high as I... How's I fought other girl songs this past year, but this one's on a mid level. It's pretty okay, and the video is damn weird. Like, especially the first thing I said, this is your brains on drugs, which is you know the whole egg you know frying shit that possibly got you in your school. Is like, this is your brains on drugs. Okay, can I have a bacon? Some toast.
Glass of orange juice. Actually, give me the carton. You need a whole day supply of vitamin C.
Damn right.
Yeah, this is weird. But, you know, alright song. Kind of curious how much more we're going to get in the meantime.
I wanted to be a B-side collection or some shit.
That could be true. Yeah, that could happen. And now, moving on to the last two songs of the week, we have not one, but two new entries from the Adult Swim Singles program, one of which was an unexpected surprise.
Yep.
But first, let's get into the one that we all knew was happening. Track number two, Miha. We mentioned EDM producer, best known for her association with Skrillex, released a new track called Time Stops When I'm With You.
Aww.
How sweet. The actual track itself is sweet as well. Rather hyper sugary sweet even. Like, it starts off with this, you know, ambient sort of break, but like the kind of ambient where like you know it's building to something, like you can feel like, you know, it's almost like you ascend up like a roller coaster and you're just waiting to get to like that drop. And then when it gets to the drop, it gets, you know, into some, I believe the kids would call it happy hardcore. Or, like, kind of chiptune-ish. Like, this reminds me of, like, Onomatoguchi, which... What's happened to them? It's been a while since we've heard from them. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I get what you mean. Although, I will say this, like... I do appreciate you being sweet, but... To be honest, I wasn't really feeling this track as much. Maybe because of the fact that... The more I keep thinking... This sounds like a very hyperactive anime ending song. It's like I hear this at the end of an anime episode. It's like, okay, show's over. Wow, this sounds so damn happy.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, who the heck would watch an anime ending theme? Who the hell would watch anime? What's wrong with you people? Eh, good thing we don't know any people who like anime, do we, Mark?
Nah, I don't think so.
Self-deprecating humor. But yeah, I guess you have to be in a very specific mood to have like that kind of sugary sweet electronic.
Pretty much.
But now, let's move on to the surprise track, which is the exact freaking opposite of sugary sweet. This one features the return of frequent Adult Swim collaborator Clams Casino, providing and producing a beat for a rapper I can't say I've ever heard of called Ghost Mane. a rapper who is apparently somewhat popular. Like, I actually checked out his YouTube channel, and his videos have, like, 1 million, 2 million views apiece. And we're talking videos that can be, like, as recent as just, like, last year. So I'm guessing there's some kind of appeal here.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy's... For those of you who never heard of him, the guy's aesthetics is, like, really weird. Because he is, like, a kind of low-key rapper, but he kind of has this thing for, like, the aesthetics of extreme underground metal. Like, if you look at the video for the song he released, which is a track called Kali Yuga, which I believe is supposed to be a reference to something out of the Hindu faith, you know, apparently, according to Genius, the title is a reference to the Hindu concept of Kali Yuga, which is supposedly the final stage of the world before it ends.
Oh, shit.
Yep. In the video, he's wearing a freaking Full of Hell t-shirt. That's like, that's some grindy shit right there. And you kind of get that from the beat, which is kind of this very, you know, it's got like the trap vibe to it, but the rest of the percussion, which is like these echoing bells and stuff, is kind of unnerving and creepy. It's like if you took like a JRPG score and put trap beats on it, like Chrono Cross or something. And then, of course, Ghost Main's flow is this kind of, you know, he does have a very ghostly presence with the low mumbles and, you know, the fast, like, you know, wailing, you know, high-pitched flow, where he's rapping these weird lyrics about, like, threatening to kill himself while live-streaming it on Periscope, or, you know, misunderstandings of worshipping Satanism, shit about, like, you know, religious dogma and whatnot, and something about, you know, deep in abyss, I creep, no sleep till a motherfucker 6 feet deep, Bubba, keep low-key. Yeah, this is weird, but, like, I can actually kind of get into it because of that, I'll admit.
I got into this a lot. I keep playing this every single day since it got released. Like, this is a motherfucking banger. I keep playing this all the times. Like, damn, this track is so good. Name is kind of short. I kind of wanted more, but I take what I got because, yeah, it's so damn good.
So I guess we can expect this in your top best of the year, like once we get to that.
Yeah, next year. Which is
three tracks in, man, and already we're getting surprises. Who knows what's gonna happen next week, or I guess tomorrow to be more precise from when we're recording this.
Oh yeah, that's true. There is one coming out tomorrow. Expect to go in next week. Hopefully.
Yep. Hopefully. But yeah, that'll about cover all these song discussions. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to dive into some news topics. And we're back. So, let's get into the handful of news topics we have to discuss. First off, Flying Lotus's debut feature film, Kusou. We're waiting, you know, since it premiered at Sundance a couple months ago, to find out any more details about its North American release, with Flying Lotus only teasing that it would be coming during the summer. Well, now we have some more full details about when that movie is coming out. We can expect it to drop on the streaming service Shudder, primarily dedicated to horror and suspense thrillers and whatnot, sometime in July. For a specific date, well, okay, I know according to most sources, there's also simultaneously going to be a very limited theatrical run in New York and LA.
Of course.
On July 21st. So I'm going to assume that the same day it's probably going to hit Shudder. But I'd have to, you know, double check just to be sure. But yeah, we're actually, like, you know, getting this movie out to the public.
Well, I guess now I got to go to Shudder to watch it now. Okay, you know, I think what happened? I think Netflix looked at it and said, fuck this, and said, you know what, y'all keep that. And I'm guessing since she'd already, you know, the reactions to the movie where it's like, I think people were, you know, people were walking out, or I think somebody got sick or some shit, or they...
Yeah, I have heard reports of that. But yeah, like, it's kind of weird Netflix wouldn't take this. I mean, for fuck's sake, Netflix has shit like BoJack Horseman. Come on! But, I mean, you know, I don't mind having to go to Shudder if I'm going to watch this. I mean, I want to watch this.
Now I'm going to shit will cost to actually watch it, because I ain't that familiar with Shudder.
Neither am I. I'll have to look into that once we're done.
And all interesting fact, it says in the film he's going by Steve, which is... his real name is Steven Ellison, which, okay.
I see what they did there. Steve.
Directed by Steve.
Yeah, we see you, Steve. We know it's you. But yeah, I kind of want to see if we could get, like, all of us, like, together at one point just to, like, watch the movie. Because we got to talk about it on, like... on either this podcast, or I gotta see if I can convince Joey to watch it so we can talk about it on Salty Flicks.
Crossover to... I don't know.
This is gonna be fun. Anyway, moving on to our next story, which is still concerned with movies. Apparently, the comedy troupe Broken Lizard is producing a sequel to their cult classic Super Troopers. You know, coming 16 years after the original film.
That's right. Damn, 16 years?
Yeah, everything's getting sequels and reboots, so why not?
Yeah.
Interesting fact, the score for the movie is set to be provided by the stoner rock band Eagles of Death Metal. Broken Lizard lead man Jay Chandrasekhar tweeted a photo from a recording studio which featured him and a couple of other cast members and musicians, and of course, Eagles of Death Metal member Jesse Hughes. Although conspicuously missing from the photo is fellow member Josh Homme, you know, also of Queens of the Stone Age. Now, as we mentioned on a previous episode, he himself is composing the score to a film, a German film called In the Fade. So I don't know if he's... you know, too busy with that one to help in with this one, or if he's helping with this one as well and just didn't want to get in the picture or anything. But this, you know, ought to be a somewhat interesting score. I don't really know about the movie itself, though. I mean, like, let's be honest, Super Troopers, it's one of those movies that it basically only exists so Comedy Central has something to rerun at, like, noon.
Pretty much, I mean, I think Comedy Central has rerun every Broken Lizard movie on there, like... I know Beer Fest been rerun in. What's that other one? The Slamming Salmon?
I think so.
That's the one with Mike Clark Duncan. The late Mike Clark Duncan.
Aw, now I'm sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll admit I've only ever seen like the first Super Troopers and Beer Fest, and I mean I like Beer Fest, sure. Maybe I'll watch this one. I mean, if nothing else, the music's probably gonna be pretty cool. And now, moving on to our next story, a couple weeks back was the most recent edition of the New York-based Governor's Ball Festival, which had quite a lot of big headliners, perhaps most notably Tool, playing their first New York show in like 15 years, and of course, the only scheduled concert performance this year of Childish Gambino. And during this performance, he gave a rather conspicuous message to the audience saying, "You're in my heart. I'll see you for the last Gambino album."
Ooh, what does that mean?
Well, it means exactly what he meant it means. Later on, he clarified the statement that he's planning to release one more album, and then he's calling it quits on Childish Gambino stuff for good. According to his rationale, it's not punk enough for him, nor necessary. To go more into detail, here's a quote he gave to the Huffington Post during a press event, you know, surrounding his FX show Atlanta. Quote, "There's nothing worse than, like, a third sequel, like a third movie, and we're like, again? You know, I like it when something's good, and when it comes back, and there's a reason to come back, there's a reason to do that. Like, I feel there's gotta be a reason to do things, and I always had a reason to be punk, And he's just kind of like feeling like none of this is really punk anymore. Because like that first Childish Gambino album, Camp, was like, I don't know how big it was, but I know it wasn't like super huge. It had some popularity, but yeah. It was kind of like, yeah, cult sort of.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was more of a cult status album. Mostly he has gone some more like, you know, there's Camp. He made a mixtape called Royalty. Like, I think after that, then of course because of the internet, then you know
that album fucking blew up.
Yep.
Like a Fisker, vroom vroom ho.
They don't sound like that.
Fiskers don't make noise when they start up. Just so you know. Which, and then of course. Now, I just realized, I'm kind of wondering where this last album musically could even go. Because we had sort of, you know, underground, very soulful, lyrical, miracle, spiritual hip-hop on Camp. Then we had a more sort of, I almost want to say like pop-leaning, you know, braggadocious, at times kind of Odd Future-esque thing with Because the Internet.
Yeah.
And then with Awaken My Love, we had this, you know, throwback, gospel, soul, funk, R&B thing going on. So, truth be told, I don't know how he's gonna end this.
I don't know. I don't know what it'll be, ambient or it'll be, I don't know, footwork. Fuck, I don't know.
He's finally gonna release a metal album. Or who knows, maybe a literal punk album. But, you know, I can actually understand him deciding to close it up on the whole music thing. I mean, he's got a lot of shit down the pipeline. Yeah, he got a lot of shit. You know,
I mean, he got Atlanta season 2, which is coming next year. Which, damn it, by the way, no, you know, of course, he got that Han Solo film he's in. Then he didn't do the live action remake of The Lion King. Yeah, and he's doing an animated Deadpool series on FXX. Like, damn, you go one busy motherfucker.
Clearly, so if he has to cut something, I guess it makes sense to cut the music, you know, unless one of those projects falls through.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the final Childish Gambino album is a good one. Yeah. I mean, they've all been, like, I would argue, you know, at least decent so far, so. Anyway, we got a couple of festival announcements here. Well, a tour / festival, and then, like, a legit festival. One of my favorite recurring yearly traditions, the annual Summer Slaughter Tour, the most extreme tour of the year. And during this last week, they announced the full lineup as well as the touring itinerary. Now, I'm going to say this here. I get really pissed off when this tour does not swing through my neck of the woods. Like, whether it stays in central Florida, like Orlando, or just doesn't hit Florida at all. But when it doesn't come to, like, you know, Fort Lauderdale, that pisses me off. And this year, they're not going to Fort Lauderdale. They're not even touching Florida, period. Damn. It's going from July 27th, starting off in Reading, Pennsylvania, and ending August 26th in Cleveland, Ohio. And the closest it's coming anywhere near to the state of Florida is Atlanta, Georgia. And now, this makes me upset because this lineup for this year, I'm just going to say the two headliners, the Black Dahlia Murder and Dying Fetus, my two all-time favorite death metal bands headlining this tour, Black Dahlia playing fucking their classic album Nocturnal in full on its 10th anniversary, and it's not coming to fuck. I hate life. I just hate life. Why are you doing this to me? To whoever organizes this festival, why are you people always so selective about when you decide to go to Fort Lauderdale? Come on! And anyway, as for the rest of the lineup, other featured bands include Oceano, Slaughter to Prevail, Origin, Rings of Saturn, Betraying the Martyrs, Lorna Shore, and last but certainly not least, The Faceless. They were announced as a, you know, surprise guest for the show. So, yeah, just why does life do this to me?
They want to fuck with you.
Clearly. But, you know, I'm kind of curious as to what Alex himself thinks about this whole tour, so let's cut to him for a bit.
I'm not quite sure what to make of this lineup for Summer Slaughter, since I'm not into the overly aggressive hard death metal scene like Black Dahlia Murder or Oceano, so I can't quite say much about this festival. All I know is that Periphery and Between the Buried and Me were part of the 2012 lineup. They were in Charlotte for one of their dates, and I missed out on it. Feel bad for me. Feel bad for me, I say! I command thee.
Thank you for your insight, sir. And I can just imagine him listening to this in the recording and just, like, afterwards, just laughing at my pain. Anyway, now we have a festival announcement to move on to. The 2017 edition of the Aftershock Festival, October 21st and 22nd in Discovery Park in Sacramento, California. Sponsored by Monster Energy.
Oh, damn.
Personally, I'm more of a Red Bull guy myself, but... Now, as I said, this festival's taking place for 2 days, and I was looking at this festival, and... Wow, I cannot think of a more disparate, like, separation between, like, day one and day two. It's night and day... Sorry, I got a little burp in my throat for a second. Between, wow, this looks really cool, and... Wow, this would look really cool if I was, like, 15. But let's start off with the good day, Saturday... The featured acts on this day are Nine Inch Nails, A Perfect Circle, Stone Sour, Mastodon, Gojira, one of the odd ones out here, Run the Jewels.
Damn.
Yeah, that's weird. Highly Suspect, a name you might recognize. They were nominated for a Grammy this past year for, I think, Best Rock or Metal Performance. I'm trying to remember which one. It was one of the rock categories. I think I said Eagles of Death Metal. Okay. Tech N9ne, of course. Anti-Flag, August Burns Red. Okay, I do have to deduct a point for Code Orange. But there's While She Sleeps here. So, like I said, on this day, there's a lot of pretty good stuff that I would, you know, enjoy spectacularly. And then there's Sunday, which, as I said, is the... This would be cool, ... if I was 15. So, starting from the top, you have... You know, you think it might be okay. You have Ozzy Osbourne, you know, metal legend. Then you have Five Finger Death Punch, where I assume Ivan Moody is going to threaten to disband the band for, like, the 50th fucking time this year. Yeah, he has a habit of threatening to break up the band, oftentimes on stage.
Okay. Like, do you know, every time you do that, we're going to break up the band, wait, again?
Yeah.
Yeah, again!
Anyway, Marilyn Manson... Hailstorm. Suicidal Tendencies, they're fun live. Oh my god, In This Moment. God damn it. Hollywood Undead, which is the poor man's version of Slipknot. Of Mice and Men. Steel Panther, okay, I can imagine they're pretty fun. Beartooth, Fozzy, Power Trip, a band I heard is, you know, good, but I've never listened to them yet. But yeah, other than that, that's kind of a wasteland of just, like, cringe.
So Sunday, avoid.
Exactly. see, Mark just gets it.
And since you mentioned that the whole Run of Jewels Tech N9ne thing, the more I think about it, it's like that dumb little joke I heard in this stand-up special. It's like Run of Jewels and Tech N9ne or the Coke Puffs and mixing with a lot of kicks. yeah, basically that those who watch that special Donald Glover Weirdo, it's very good by the way. Yeah, you should get that. Those who watch it, you should get that joke.
I gotta rewatch that. But yeah, Aftershock Festival, I mean, you'll have fun. It's Saturday. Sunday, you might spend that day running around doing other things in Sacramento. Like trying to hunt down ice bears. We do not endorse hunting ice bears.
You leave the wee bears alone. Get none of them instead. Fuck him.
Yeah, Fuck that fucking Australian piece of shit. Fucking co-op motherfucker.
Hey, it's a festival in my old stomping grounds in Northern California. But man, isn't that a rather unique bill? Nine Inch Nails, Stone Sour, Mastodon, and then Tech N9ne and Run the Jewels? All on the same Saturday, man. Makes me wish I can go out there and take part in that, but I can't because I have no money. But the Sunday lineup leaves a lot to be desired, though. I mean, Steel Panther and Ozzy are certainly fine choices, but of Mice and Men, in this moment, friggin' Hollywood Undead? Ugh. Just stay with the Saturday shit lineup. Just skip Sunday, if anyone's going out to there. Lucky bastards.
We got one last story here for the week, and this one, this was just a funny one. I needed a good laugh this week. So, I don't know if you've seen, Mark, but there was a report that's been floating around recently where some, you know, analyst took a look at Instagram posts from various music festivals and used a whole bunch of fancy statistical measurement to pick out what exactly was the drug of choice per festival.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I took a quick glance at it. I'm trying to remember the results. I mean, I know for a fact that for the Marley Fest, you know, Bob Marley and whatnot, 92% of posters were, of course, all about the Mary Jane.
Okay, of course.
And I think there were some other festivals where, again, I'm trying to remember. I think they mentioned the Bonnaroo Festival as well. And the thing with, like, drugs at music festivals, at least from what I assume, you kind of got to be careful, because there might be the people who sell you, like, legit drugs, but then I always assume there's the guy who's selling you some weird, untested shit. Like, you buy it from him, and he's like, no, yeah, dude, it's totally, like, edible weed. And then you're like, okay.
And
oh, wait, I forgot. That wasn't weed. That was flaca.
That was flaca?
I really want to eat your face right now, and I think I will.
Get the fuck in my face!
So, yeah, you gotta be careful, because, you know, there's the legit drug dealers, there's the guy selling you really fucked up shit, and then there's this guy. Bonnaroo man arrested for, quote, doing God's work by selling fake drugs. David Brady was found in possession of fake mushrooms, fake acid, fake cocaine, and even fake heroin.
Wait, what? He sold a bunch of fake drugs.
Yes.
I'm supposed to kick this ass for that.
Yes.
Or demand a refund.
David Brady wasn't actually pushing real drugs. No, as Fox 17 Nashville reports, he was found in possession of, quote, 37 pills made to look as if they were Molly, 22 bags of fake mushrooms, approximately 1,000 hits of fake acid, 20 bags made to look like cocaine, and an incense stick made to look like black tar heroin. Brady reportedly told officers that he was doing God's work by selling fake drugs. Nevertheless, he was arrested and charged with 2 counts of counterfeited controlled substances and will be extradited to Arkansas, where he's waiting for a felony bench warrant.
Wait, so God told you to sell fake drugs?
Doing God's work, eh? You know, I don't think I remember that from Blues Brothers. I mean,
yeah, like
I just remember good musical numbers from Ray Charles. I don't remember the part where Jake and Elwood were selling, you know, fake cocaine to help, you know, save the orphanage. Maybe in a fanfic version of the Blues Brothers.
Well, at least we better than the sequel.
Clearly. Now,
yeah.
Okay, my mind is kind of drifting here, because I know the big question should be, dude, don't sell fake drugs. They're gonna probably get mixed in with the real drugs, and then someone's gonna, like, you know, get really fucked up. But, okay, what I want to know, my first takeaway is 22 bags of fake mushrooms. How do you fake shrooms? I know it's a very specific type of mushroom that's used for hallucinogenics. I believe the proper scientific term is psilocybin. But, like, What were these mushrooms? Like, did you just sell them, like, shiitake? Or, like, you know, button or morel mushrooms? Like, what? But, like, okay, if they're fake mushrooms, then they're not even, like, real mushrooms. So, like, what, were you selling them, like, some kind of squeaky toy of mushrooms that you, like, bought at the Party City for, like, $3?
Squeaky mushrooms? And then I find out why this mushroom tastes chewy. I can't even wait. It's a chew toy. This motherfucker sold me some fake mushrooms.
Second takeaway, the incense stick. Oh, my God, that brings back painful memories. Like... My family used to have, like, a lot of those. They still do. Like, they have those incense sticks. Like, you know, you light them, it makes the place smell like, I don't know, like fucking hippies live there.
Oh, yeah. I think I made them. I think somebody used them to, I don't know how to, like, use for the bathroom in case someone stunk up the joint.
But, like, okay, black tar, how do you even fake it to look like black tar heroin?
I don't know, do you go through the sludge or some shit? Like, maybe, you know what, maybe I don't want to know that.
Okay, 20 bags made to look like cocaine, I could see that much. He probably just got, like, a bunch of sugar, yeah, like, powdered sugar like, out I of, guess, like, his cabinet.
He has to get some powdered sugar, some flour, or regular sugar, or just get any type of, any white-looking substance that make it look like crack, or, you know, quote, cocaine.
And then 37 pills made to look like Molly. Now, I'm trying to remember. I don't think Molly is, like, the kind of pill where it's, like, a plastic casing with, like, tiny, you know, dots in it. Yeah. It's one of those, like, you know, hard, chalky white pills, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. It is one of those, like, hard, chalky white ones.
So how do you fake Molly? Like, what were you actually... Okay, like, so was this a placebo? Or were you actually giving them, like, I don't know, shit out of your medicine cabinet that you made to look like the fucking Molly?
Flintstone vitamins or something?
Hey, man, don't take too many of those Flintstone vitamins. You don't want to fuck with those or else they'll fuck your shit up. And then, of course, the 1,000 hits of fake acid.
How do you fake acid?
I don't know. Like, I don't even know what form acid comes in.
I mean... Do you get it? Like, how do you get it out of stuff? Like, do you just okay? This damn
yeah.
This is confusing me.
I'm okay. So I'm not exactly the most religious person. I did go to private school for 7 years though, so I did end up hearing a lot about the Jeebus, and I must have fallen asleep during one of my classes because I missed the part where he wants you to deal drugs to people at music festivals.
Yeah.
Unless that's in, like, an older translation.
I mean, I'm not much of a religious man. I mean, I'm more agnostic or maybe just, well, you know, sort of that. But I don't think, if God's taking to sell fake drugs, I think he's fucking with you.
Very much so, yes. Like, I could just imagine God sending back, like, David, we want you to sell fake drugs to people at Bonnaroo. Your lord commands it. Okay, savior. And then, like, he just cuts the fears, like... Holy shit! Dude, Jesus, you gotta see this! I didn't think he'd actually do it!
Oh, damn, he fought for that shit? He fought? I gotta watch this.
Yo, dude, get Buddha and Satan in on the Skype chat, the group chat. Get him on Snapchat.
I'm on that shit. I am on that shit. Come on, man. Hey, Buddha, Satan, get over here right now. Right now, about to see some shit.
Oh, man, we're going out. But this guy, he's probably not going to heaven.
Pretty much.
I mean, I doubt he's going to go to hell, but, like, unless you have a really, like... If you're talking to God and you see him in your sleep, you're going to have a powerful excuse for why you were just selling drugs in his name.
Yeah. And then you know what the most surprising thing about this is?
What?
This was not in Florida.
You're right, it wasn't. Nah, if it was Florida, he'd be selling fake bath salts in Flocka. And by fake bath salts, I mean real bath salts. Like... Wait a minute, this isn't the fucking shit I ordered. I don't feel like eating someone's face. Instead, now my skin feels surprisingly smooth.
Yeah, and I saw some shit with, I don't know, bath salts work. At least, I don't know as much.
Yeah, we're clearly not drug people ourselves, so you'll have to forgive us for our mockery.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good laugh, right? Yeah, just okay, so we got one more thing we gotta cover before we, you know, get to the sign out, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 16th, 2017. And there's quite a bit of notable stuff here.
There's a lot of them.
And this isn't everything. This is just like the stuff I like know about and find noteworthy. So starting from the top, we have the newest album from melodic hardcore act Hundredth, titled Rare. Apparently going in more of a shoegazy direction this time around. We have the newest album from power metalist Iced Earth, titled Incorruptible. From the world record champions of the most hated band of all time, Nickelback, with their newest album, Feed the Machine.
They're still making albums?
Apparently. You know, I just want to go to a quick tangent here. People say they hate the Obama administration, but you have to give it credit for one thing. Nickelback was never once pop culturally relevant during that 8-year time span.
That is true.
Anyway, we have the newest album from symphonic black metalers Karak Angren, titled Dance and Laugh Amongst the Rotten. The newest album from alternative metalers CKY, titled The Phoenix. The official sophomore effort, not counting that weird compilation thing from 2012, of electronic producer Calm Trues, titled Iteration. We have the self-titled debut album from Atlantean synth rockers Arcadia. The newest album from prog rockers Chone, titled Homie. A new album from longstanding classic rock icons Cheap Trick, titled We're All Alright. We have the latest solo effort from Big Boy, titled Boomiverse. We have a new release from Young Thug, titled Beautiful Thugger Girls.
He's a pretty beautiful... Damn it, I now get it.
To be fair, you have more better flow than he does. And last but certainly not least, we have the second album from pop singer Lord, titled Melodrama. So a pretty stacked week. I'm pretty sure there's even some big stuff outside of this. But that's, you know, what I chose to highlight. And now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Mark, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me over at Matt2HybridMedia on Twitter. Basically that. And my site, The Mind of Hybrid One, at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. That's basically it. Also, oh yeah, I did a couple of things this week. Like, I did top favorite anime characters, both male and female.
Yay.
Oh, this would be on the first page. Good shit.
Yeah. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have any questions or inquiries about the podcast, or any comments or dank memes, whatever you want to send me. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday, although this one might be a little late. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel, which you can find by searching Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always sure when new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, check out online at SurrealResolution.com, and find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. While you're there, be sure to listen to the archives of our past episodes and check out our other podcasts as well. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flakes. And if you like anime, check out our newly launched anime podcast, Podcast ONA, the last anime podcast you'll ever need. While you're on the site, be sure to check out a lot of our great written content. I have a proud announcement to make here. By the time you hear this, I will have 2 album reviews this week of albums that actually technically come out this week. Your boy's now becoming a sort of professional album reviewer. So I'll have reviews of Comp Truce's Iteration and Arcadia's self-titled release up by the time this episode goes up. So if you haven't checked those out yet, there you go. We have weekly write-ups of Attack on Titan, which I believe is ending soon, and My Hero Academia. Be sure to check out our Discord chat if you ever want to, you know, dank with dankness. Check us out on Twitch, you know, if you want to catch the archives of our commentaries on the E3 press conferences. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week's episode of the Decibel Boost Podcast. So until next time, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is gonna suck, isn't it?
Xbox One X sound like a EDM group. What?